Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is the CEO of Crawford Corporate Coaching. This is a gentleman that has been in leadership positions for various firms in the financial services arena for 47 plus years. And he has his own firm now serving organizations in some ways that I think you're going to find really interesting. We certainly have as we've begun to get to know him. Welcome to the show, Tom Crawford.
Delighted to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. Give us a little overview. Tell us a little bit about Crawford Corporate Coaching and what you're out there doing for folks.
Well, this is a company that I've started after three retirements and stayed at home, and my wife told me that she married me for better or worse, but not for lunch, and that I ought to get out of the house and do something.
I'm using that.
So I did, and my hobbies became boring, so I started Crawford Corporate Coaching. I really enjoy teaching, and I've done some work at the universities talking about entrepreneurship. And so I've used this the program, the system that that I'm going to be talking about in every company that I've been with, and it's had amazing results. So I thought I'd put it together in a very simple format. I liked your prior individual, Jill, that you had on the air, talking about simplicity. My program is very, very simple with major impact on the company. So I'm having fun doing it without advertising so far and getting a lot of work, and it's fun to do it.
Well, now you've hit the big time. You're on the High Velocity Radio Show. You're going to be inundated, so you're going to be busy, man.
Well, that's a good thing. This is will be good for the organization.
Well, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I've been in and around the consulting arena most of my life. My wife has a real job. She's a consultant with a big house. And I got to tell you, it really sort of took me back when I saw your background and that you chose to go from that into the corporate coaching arena. I guess my initial reaction was, yeah, that's just what we need is another coaching firm. So shed a little bit of light on that. Tell us, what in the world were you thinking, man?
Well, you know, it goes back to coaching baseball and basketball when I was coming up through the ranks in the financial services world. I thoroughly enjoyed coaching and always thought that would be my second career if I could choose to be something else other than a CEO. I would be a coach. And I find it the similarities between coaching an athletic team and coaching a company very similar. You got to build a team. You got to put people in the right spots. You've got to give them a program or a system to run on. And that's what I've done since 1984. As being a CEO in 84, I found some of the same principles work very well. And the other thing, and I talked to you earlier about it, chatted with you a little bit about it. Don't take this wrong, but I just couldn't call myself a consultant. As many people calling themselves coaches, there's probably twice as many calling themselves consultants today, especially with a lot of the leadership being out on the streets looking for work due to the economic times that we're in. So I picked the name coach.
But you really do see a distinction between those two things, don't you?
I absolutely do. I'm in and out. I have a very clear message and program that I'm installing in a company, and I am evaluating the individuals as I do it. But, you know, there is similarities. It's not like it's totally different, but my time in a company is 2 days. And,
wow.
2 days in, out, and I go back if I'm invited, and usually they invite me back for a day or two after they get the program up and running.
See, I love this notion of calling it a coach. I mean, probably the all-time greatest and most beloved coach in the history of mankind just passed away. You know, and so,
yeah. Coach Wooden, for those of you that have been living under a rock.
Yeah, well, he's, first to tell you that, he doesn't necessarily have the best acumen on basketball strategy, but creating fine gentlemen and making them better human beings and the lessons that he would taught, that he would teach, weren't necessarily fundamentals, but they were. Don't be late. Don't speak ill of your teammates. Those kinds of things. And so I think there's something to be said for the coaching mentality. I think it's I think a lot of people need that.
So what kind of problems are you solving for companies, Tom?
Well, I think there's a lot. Basically, I'm putting in a system that brings so many elements of sustainable results. It starts with the planning. It certainly gives you a planning outline. We work with the vision. In fact, I listened to one of your prior speakers talk about vision, and I have strong feelings about vision because I built a company in 1984, and I had a vision. But I found very soon that everyone didn't share that vision. So I think it takes the team to build a vision. Certainly, it's steered. You can steer it, but if you get that team involved in a vision of a company, then the power that brings to a company is dramatic. And so we start with planning, vision, mission. We go through the objectives of the company, making sure that it's not my objective, it's the corporate objectives. The only way to do that is to get the team involved. This is a team exercise when I'm in a company for 2 days. It's the CEO and everyone that reports to him. So everything we do, every department knows what their objectives are at the end of the day. Every other person knows that department's objectives. They know what their issues and challenges are. We certainly focus a lot on the action plans necessary to bring those objectives to fruition, and we measure everything. And when I say that, you name it, we measure it, and I find the one thing that is absolutely essential in a company is to measure the key drivers. And the end result is accountability. At the end result, it kind of focuses on bringing the team together and identifying who's getting the job done, who's not, and the whole team sees it. So it's a powerful tool, and it some of the results it's obtained for me has been dramatic.
Now, is this what you refer to as the Crawford Management Systems Workshop?
It is.
Okay, so that's your main methodology. That's your main tool that you would bring into an organization and go through. And it's a 2-day. Speak a little bit more about that actual workshop, how it works, how a company gets it started.
Well, first, I work with CEOs that open themselves up. I mean, there are CEOs, as you know, that probably have a feeling that they know everything.
Oh, sure.
I've learned so much from so many good people in the industry. And clearly, in my beginning of my career, I was observing people and how they handled people. And I saw some really good methodologies, and I saw some really bad ones. So I tried to gear myself to what I wanted to see in a leader. And so from day one, I've tried to build environments for the people, investing in people. But the workshop itself actually starts off with a couple-hour discussion with the CEO to get a feeling of what they think about their company, their weaknesses and their strengths, review all of the direct reports of their weaknesses and strengths, gives me a feel for what kind of team I'm working with, and then we pull them all together. And I go over the success of this program in other companies, what it's done. And one of the things it does is bring sustainability. We talked a minute ago, and I heard your prior speaker talking about alignment and focus, and that's what it does. I call it a vehicle of communications. And to build a strong organization, and let me just add this, you know, I found over the years that the only thing I can't talk about as a CEO is what the SEC says I can't talk about in a public company. Everything else should be talked about, and it's not. And this program gives you one of the strongest communication vehicles you could ever have in a company. And yet it's made up of seven pieces of paper. And the hurdle I have to jump over sometimes is getting the CEO to understand that it's very simple. And I liked your prior guest, Jill, talking about simplicity and alignment. And that's what this program brings to the table.
So what's the most fun thing about your work? And what, if anything, do you find a little bit frustrating?
Well, I think the fun part is teaching, doing business the right way. It's amazing to me, and I speak about it around the country when I don't do this workshop about leadership, doing business the right way. I saw a definition the other day that I added to, I think it was an individual named Henry Cloud wrote a book, and I saw a statement in it, and I changed it to integrity, doing business the right way. And so what I get a thrill out of is getting a team to work together the right way. And you're not backstabbing. You're not trying to make a name for yourself over somebody else. And a lot of things happen when you put this program in, and I've had the pleasure of putting it in 6 companies now. Basically, I'll have someone walk into your office after a management meeting and say, you know, I don't like what Charles did. This is what I would do. And I say, I don't want to hear it. You had every opportunity in the management meeting to talk about what and help Charles. So you don't need to come and tell me what you know that Charles didn't. You should have expressed it in the meeting. So we're building a team. And eventually, in about 3 months after this program goes in place, that team is working together to help each other, not trying to make individual names for themselves.
Now, as you're out there doing this kind of work, are you seeing some patterns? Do you see several organizations making some of the same mistakes, and you see them over and over?
The primary mistake in companies, and I've over the years, 46 to be exact, I've seen companies, and very few have an organized management system where it provides the control, the accountabilities, the planning, it builds a teamwork. And even talking to some companies, they say they don't need it. The CEO will say, I don't need this. I can understand the numbers any way you give them to me. That's not the point of this program. The point of the program is for the people in the company, the leadership of the company, the people getting the job done at the desk, everyone to know what the goals, mission, vision, what we're trying to do as a company. And I would tell you that 50 to 60% of major companies don't have a common vehicle of control and accountability. And so I think I certainly have a good market for what I'm trying to do. The sad part of it is that it's me. I work alone.
Right.
And you can only do so many. In fact, I have a goal of how many I actually want to put this program into and still have a little personal time.
But this idea of having a common vehicle that everyone can tap into, everyone can understand, and that serves as a catalyst to draw out the best thinking of everyone, I think it sounds like, if the culture is set up to allow that.
The culture is built. Everyone wants to get up and do a good job. I don't think anyone gets up in the morning, wants to come to work and say, hey, I'm going to do a bad job today.
Right.
So starting with that, if you build an environment where people can reach their own goals and their own dreams, and you tie it into the corporate vision and mission, you got a powerful organization. And I'm amazed at how successful something so simple can be in a corporation. And I'm talking big corporation. I mean, certainly CNA and Prudential are large organizations. And yet, you can still be done in a big company. And I've been told more than once, well, you can't put it in a big company. Yes, you can. You know, Prudential is as big as they come. They're the biggest, they were the biggest life organization in the world. So it can work anywhere. And I focus on getting it throughout the organization, not with just the senior managers. You install it with senior managers, but you push it down in the organization to your branches. I can go to Hong Kong right now, if I was still at Crawford, and say, you know, make a presentation. And they would come in and make a presentation in this vehicle, which means that you're educating people to your business in a standard way, a vehicle of communications.
But I was just going to say that. That's in essence what you do, is you facilitate and empower people in an organization to communicate with one another and talk about the things that are right, talk about the things that are wrong. I was reading Tom Peters over the weekend, and he was saying, you know, they ought to incent people to have the courage when they're in a meeting to say, I don't know. Explain it to me.
That's a great point.
Well, and he's saying so many people are either in a leadership position and feel like, well, I should know this, and so I don't want to let anybody know that I don't know it. Or if you're lower in an organization, you're afraid to look like you don't know what's going on with your superiors, and so you're afraid. And he said you ought to reward people for asking that question.
Well, Todd, you're hitting something right on the head with this program, because I set this program, this system that we put in place, demands that you have a monthly meeting. Everybody that reports directly to me gets 30 minutes to say, here's where I am to what I said, where I would be. Here's what's going right. Here's what's going wrong. Here's my key drivers. Take a look at them in graphical format. And I'll get a presentation being made. It might be a little bit more complex from a CFO or somebody, and I'll turn in the room. I don't ask the question. I'll turn, and I'll say, Stone, did you understand what he said or she said? And, well, no. I said, well, you've got to ask questions. The reason you're in this room is to add strength to the team. If you don't even know what's being presented, you can't add strength to the team. At least understand it. So we do that in the initial phases, about 3 to 4 months, and then all of a sudden, I sit there. I don't have to ask questions. Every one of these senior people at that table are asking the right questions. I didn't understand what you said. Or this is an issue I had 5 years ago in my prior job, and here's what happened. It's an amazing transformation if the CEO is clear about he wants us to work as a team.
But then the key word here is simplicity. We've been talking about it with our first guest and with you. And I'm talking about it here in two contexts. One is your communications within your organization have to be simple so that everybody can understand it better. And the more simple you can make it, the more the organization will understand it and be able to apply it. But the other context of simplicity is this isn't rocket science. We're not all these fancy schmancy consultants that Stone's talking about. I mean, it's a simple solution. Talk, ask questions. Really, all it takes. But it's more than that. It's empowering an environment where you're free to do that.
Well, in his situation too, he has developed with his expertise and resources something tangible to facilitate the process and bring that concept to life. Because that's not the first time I've heard someone say a CEO needs to provide the leadership and the vision and give someone an opportunity to fulfill their own destiny within, you know, in a way that's consistent with what the organization. You hear that in every meeting you get, but you've got something here, a tangible catalyst. We talked about at the top of the show, the video that one client had, where he had his salespeople go out, capture a customer video, and he had that internal strategy meeting, and those people, that was just a catalyst for those people to have a genuine, practical, productive conversation. So this idea of having something tangible that they can tap into.
Well, the key to that client story was that it broke down organizational silos.
And I'll bet you this does too, doesn't it?
I think it absolutely does. And what struck me most about our client's conversation was people in the organization said, I didn't understand that was a problem you guys were facing. It speaks to what we've been talking about all day, that just people aren't aware, and there's just not enough communication internally. And so this simple little customer video for this client, all it did was just it empowered an environment of conversation.
Well, and then they've got a CEO that I think allows that, promotes, you know, the sharing, and you don't get your hand slapped when you acknowledge you don't know something. And so that's a big part of your process as well, is coaching the CEO and the leadership through how to use this tool and use it right. Because I bet it could be misused is what I'm getting at.
You know, I haven't thought a lot about it being misused. If the misuse is you don't put it in with discipline. If it's just saying, I want to do this, you guys go off and let's pick these seven pieces of paper and replicate them in your operation, and you don't pay a lot of attention to it, and you put the plan on the shelf. We build living plans. These plans are used every day. Most plans, and I would say most, I don't want to shortchange somebody, but I would tell you most plans that are made are put on the shelf and looked at maybe every quarter, every 6 months. This you have to use every 30 days. So the worst case scenario would be if you're behind in a project and IT didn't deliver something that helps you in your project in HR, you're going to know it in 30 days. In fact, you're going to talk before you get into the meeting, because you're not going to come into that meeting and embarrass somebody and say, well, I'm behind on my project because IT didn't deliver. It forces teamwork. What happens is, in my experience, two or three people on the senior team will come forward after about 3 to 4 months of this process. They don't want to work for you anymore. Why? Because they can't talk their way to results. You have to perform and execute. And the weaker performers will leave.
It'll weed them out.
The stronger ones love it because they can show and talk about what they can do for the organization. You talked about simplicity. I've seen CEOs sit in a room in groups that do not understand what's being presented and will not ask that question about what's being presented. I look at pictures. I'm holding it up. You can't see it on the air here, but I'm holding up a simple picture of revenue. Is it good or bad? And clearly it's a graph that shows it going up. And it shows the trend of it for the last, 3 or 4 years. So I can look at a page of numbers and see a number, but I can't tell where it's going. And I look at it in a graphical format, whether it be 12-month moving or a calendar year, and see where it's going. And I find that to be one of the best tools to communicate where you are. Turnover ratio, phone calls made per person, everything can be put into a graphical format, and then every employee, including the mailroom, can understand what's happening.
Well, you talk about understanding and that facilitating this kind of culture, and that makes perfect sense to me. But it also strikes me that there must be a philosophical construct here that says it's okay for the janitor to know the numbers.
It is. In fact,
say more about that.
I absolutely tell the people in the room, first off, we say invite a guest, one of your supervisors or managers, to the room. so they can see and understand how we run the company. But we also tell them and direct them to go out of that room and communicate to their division, communicate to, and then they, the division people communicate to their branches, and the branches hold branch meetings. We want it to, after the day after the meeting, to be communicated throughout the organization. And again, I've used it as a supervisor with a six-person unit, and I've used it with 10,000 people. And it can be done. The thing about it, it can't be done. It can be done, but you have to have the discipline to do it and the methodology to use a vehicle for that communications.
In the lobby before this show started, you and I had a very brief conversation before Todd interrupted us about servant leadership. And, in fact, the way that you and I got connected was I had the good fortune of attending a NetWeavers luncheon that was coordinated with the Junior Achievement crowd. And I met your right-hand man, who is not a man, but Suzanne Lavoie. And I would love to hear you share with us a little bit about your thinking around this whole idea of servant leadership and your role in this NetWeavers organization.
Well, my role is I've been president of the Atlanta chapter, the CEO NetWeavers now for a year. My term is up in September, but I got involved about 3 years ago, and it fits in perfectly with what I do. Half my time I spend traveling, giving talks about leadership and what's wrong and what do we need to do to fix it. That's been my theme this year. So I have a different theme each year, but it's all around doing the right thing and bringing integrity and character back to leadership. And CEO NetWeavers gave me a platform that fit what I believe in, and it's helping others, especially if you've been in the business a while and you have the ability and the wisdom to talk about the challenges facing leadership. CEO NetWeavers is a servant leadership group that is in, it's a national organization, and it, basically the concept is helping others. And we have a program in Atlanta that called Navigating for Business Success, where we will take a company that can't afford a coach or a consultant, but they're between $1 million to $10 million in size. They're struggling. We'll put a panel of six CEOs, a lawyer, we call them partners, an accounting firm in a room, set the CEO in front of us, and he'll say, here's my issues and challenges, and you got a pretty strong group of people that will help him with advice.
Wow.
No charge. And it's an amazing program, and it impacted me to see it. We've installed it in Atlanta. We picked it up out of Dallas, by the way. And it's just a great organization, and we're 86 strong. We'll end up at about 100, and we'll probably freeze it there until we, because the key is about learning about each other's skills and the trust that you can build in somebody by talking to them, so that when I'm out doing my coaching and I see a need like workflow evaluation, I know someone that's really good at workflow evaluation. I now know somebody from your prior guest that could help them on the sales side, which is essential in the success of a company. I think I would like to meet Jill.
Yeah,
so
you really
that
should.
That trusted relationship could be built, because I can recommend her to every company I go into, and they're primarily sales organizations. So that it builds a trusting relationship with leaders in the Atlanta area. So that's a little bit of background of it. I'm on the national board also, and it's just a great organization.
But this whole idea of servant leadership, it occurs to me that that's really important in making your coaching work, getting the most out of the coaching work and the process that you bring to companies. Am I seeing that right?
Well, I think we're building healthy environments, and a healthy environment has integrity. I build into every mission statement, every company I coach, we build it in. Don't leave out, we will perform our work with integrity and character. We will treat our customers act. We will treat our associates. I had an interesting presentation at the Terry College, Third Thursday meeting here in Atlanta a while back, and I was a featured speaker, and I started the meeting off by stunning everybody by saying, the client comes second. And the room just went dead silence. And, you've read the book, Customer Comes First, and I said, no, the client comes second. The number one person in an organization or people is the associates, the employees. If they're not excited, if they're not in tune to the company, I don't know how you answer the phone and say good things or really get the client excited about doing business with you. So I focus a great deal on the employee and the associates in a company.
I mean, to me, that makes all the sense in the world. But speaking of measurement, and you may not have any hard numbers, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. What kind of results are your clients getting on the backside of you having been in there for your 2 days and really embracing this and applying it?
I can tell you a couple examples real quickly. The company's new, so I'm coaching about 10 companies right now. I won't even tell you where it is. I just shouldn't talk about it. But it's gone from about a $450,000 a month loss to approximately $220,000 in 4 months just by focus and putting this program in.
Right.
And there'll be break even by the end of the year. That company was not doing well. The company in New York City is one of the fastest growing financial companies in the country. And I was with the CEO, very young CEO, who knew that he needed help because it was growing so fast. I asked him 3 weeks ago, I said, what benefit has this program given you? And I'm putting it in my next brochure. He said, I'm sleeping at night. It was a great
How's
comment.
That for a testimonial?
Yeah.
And he's 34, and he is a dramatically good leader, knowing that he needs some experience in running as it grows in multiple, hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's growing almost $100 million a year. So those type things, I have not had a bad response. If the CEO's open to putting it in, I have not had a bad response. So it makes me feel good because, again, I get to teach, and that's what I enjoy doing.
I can tell. I mean, you exude that air of someone that likes to share, that really does live and breathe this whole idea of servant leadership, and you seem like you're getting an awful lot out of it. Well, what do you think about that, Todd?
I think it's good stuff. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, this has been a strong interview. Before we let you go, a couple of things. One, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you and find out more about your work, or if they want to visit with you and talk to you about coaching them.
Well, clearly the office phone number is, I can give that. I guess,
absolutely.
Is 770-287-7550. So it's 770-287-7550. The website is www.crawfordcorporatecoaching.com. And my personal email is THO, first three letters of Thomas, CRA, 611@AOL.com.
So what's next for you? And well, actually, I have two questions. What's next for you? What's coming up? But also, I mean, are you getting spread a little bit thin here? Because this is largely the Tom Show, isn't it? Based on your experience.
It is. I was just sitting and talking about how I take the company forward. Right now, when someone calls me, they get Tom Crawford. And I think that's an asset for me right now. But I am looking at the right person who can come in and have the same values that I have in running a company, and let them travel with me and let them experience the workshop and take it forward. I think it's something we need in American business today from a leadership standpoint, of running a company the right way. It doesn't have to be exactly the tools that I bring, but if you're going to put a program in, it certainly has dramatic impact wherever it's been, and it's just needed. I think, there was a question that I wanted you to ask before we get to the end of this that is important to me.
Well, let's consider it asked.
All right.
answer.
I talk about leadership a lot, and I think there's real problems in leadership. And I know there's some great CEOs, but I've taken my role before I even joined CEO NetWeavers was to go out and talk about leadership. And I've given a couple commencement talks, one to Rutgers, one to Georgia, and one to a small college in North Georgia. And it's very apparent that the people in these classes really understand there's problems in the business world. I asked a question at a commencement exercise last year, what is the problem with leadership? And the answer came back in unison from thousands of people, the word greed. Get mine and get out. And that's the terminology that I've heard. And so I think we have to address that as leaders to get the public perception that, changed about leadership, because right now it's fairly negative. So we talk about it and some of the things we have to do. And what I love about this system that I teach, it's, we talk about doing, building a right environment. And a consultant might come in and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. I give them the tools. They can touch it. It's that seven pieces of paper. It's a software program. So you don't just walk out and tell them what they should do. You give them the tools to do it. And it's one way of building a great environment. And we got to get rid of the greed. I mean, the greed, and I'll just give you a survey of, 15 years ago, the CEO salaries were 40 times the average employee salary. Today, it's 400 times the average employee salary.
I didn't realize that. Did you guys realize that?
I don't believe, and I got chastised for this a couple of weeks ago by CEO of a major company. He is not greed, Tom. It might be a little greed here when we're talking about that kind of change and thinking about service and products. What product or service can generate, you know, $30, $40, $50 million salaries? I've been a CEO since 1984, and I have not seen any product or any service that's worth that kind of money. I have seen stock. If you pay me in stock and that stock goes up, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in salary and golden parachutes, I have a hard time with that. And I am at a place in my life right now that I can say what I think about it. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
And you don't think I'm 400 times better than Todd?
Well, actually, you might be.
Well, listen, before we let you go, you heard us do this with our first guest. We have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show where we ask each guest if they will share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career and really more importantly, what they feel like they learned from it. Can we get you to do that for us?
I certainly have made some mistakes, and I thought about it long and hard. And one of the things that disappointed me in myself at one point in time, I got so excited about a promotion, leaving a major company, and being promoted from one position of CEO to another position of CEO in an organization. And I had two candidates to come in behind me that were candidates for my replacement. And I got so excited about going to that next job, which was an unusual position, that I failed to build the case for the person who should have had the job. And the choice was made, and it wasn't the person that I thought should get it. And I really thought about it a long time and felt like I didn't do my job in building the case for why this person should take the company. And if you make the wrong choice, if the wrong choices are made, the sustainability of what you built suffers. And the company suffered to some degree for the next 6 months to a year. And if I'm looking back on it, I think the mistake I made was being so excited about the next place in my life that I didn't do the proper job of building that person and selling that person and verifying why I believe the way I did. So I think if I had to go back and do it, that would be one thing I would change.
It's hard, though, isn't it, to keep your eyes here when you're headed to the next thing?
It absolutely is. But I think you go through that one time and see all the work being impacted negatively. Makes you think about you better do the job the right way in getting the next person to come in behind you to keep the company going in the right direction.
Well, and what a marvelous indicator or demonstration of integrity that is if you're leaving one assignment and you're going on to the next thing to leave where you're leaving in whole and intact and make it better before you go.
Yeah, I'm not sure everyone understands the pressure that is coming to leadership, and if it's not strong, it's going to suffer. The pressure comes from so many places. It comes from the S&Ps and the Moody's, and when you're in front of them and you're talking about your company and they're disappointed and you missed your quarterly earnings by 2 or 3 cents, and I'm sitting there thinking, you're hurting everyone by those demands and those issues. Build sustainable long-term results, and there's very little understanding of how important that is versus, the instant gratification in running a company. So CEOs, if you've got the wrong pick, could crumble under that kind of pressure. In fact, I think many have, do what's short-term, not what's long-term and right for the company.
Well, I think that's insight that'll serve us all. And you obviously are sharing insight and knowledge and expertise and genuine tools that are serving your clients. And we're blessed to have you come in and visit with us for a little while.
Oh, it's a great opportunity for me. I enjoy talking about it.